Sunday. T-minus 42. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. The latest text from Clark had arrived extremely late, reaching all three of Dan, Tara's, and Emma's phones several hours after they finally retired at the end of a long night spent taking in the global reaction to Leisha's explosively violent outburst in Buenos Aires. Clark hadn't deliberately neglected to promptly tell them about his new plan to tackle Jan Geller in person while Emma did the bulk of the work from Birchwood, and nor had he done so at Godfrey's request. It simply took far longer than expected, and in their eyes, far longer than necessary, for the digital forensics teams in Buenos Aires to finish sweeping their devices. Clark mentioned this in his eventual message, much longer than his initial perfunctory confirmation that he was physically safe after the botched attempt on his life, but sought to reassure Emma in particular that there was absolutely nothing on his phone worth being concerned about. He measured his words in saying this, of course, with his awareness more heightened than ever that saying, "I didn't say anything about Piper's powers," would lead to disaster, should there ever be a next time. Often a relatively early riser, Dan got the message first. With the better part of 9 hours remaining until Focus 2020 aired live from New York, he opted to let Emma sleep until she woke up of her own accord. Piper spent the morning playing happily with Tara after an uncharacteristically sound sleep of her own, and Dan was more than a little surprised by how calm Tara was about Clark's news.
"I'm just glad he's safe," she said. "And he is right. Geller will be intimidated by his presence."
While Dan certainly agreed with that, since in his mind anyone on Clark's bad side would be a fool not to be intimidated, he was altogether less relaxed about the whole thing. Clark was no expert at keeping his cool, and he was currently holding on to a secret that the family simply couldn't afford to let slip. But as the morning wore on past 10 a.m. and Emma continued to sleep, Dan found his concerns fading with time, for despite dwelling on it, he couldn't really conceive of a way in which Clark would slip up. The topic of the messenger's uplift powers was sure to be front and center given what had occurred the previous day, he considered, but the context would be safely removed from anything related to currently existing telekinetic or telepathic abilities among humans. Tara allowed Piper to hold a variety of soft toys as well as some small books and other items without her mittens on, understanding why Emma was so paranoid about the baby accidentally hurting herself or someone else, but also understanding that her little hands needed some space to breathe and her brain needed to feel things. Dan was fully aware of this without explicitly approving it and simply told Tara not to take Piper into the backyard or the bathroom without her mittens. Those places hadn't been baby-proofed as thoroughly as everywhere else, and there really was no sense in taking any unnecessary risks. Piper didn't mind the mittens, which was an enormous relief and eliminated the need for anything less comfortable, but everyone fully understood that the situation couldn't go on like this for long. The later it got, the more Dan wondered how much longer Emma's sleep could possibly go on. She had barely slept at all in the nights since their daughter's undesirable ability became apparent, and given that those came after an extended run of Piper's most unsettled nights yet, perhaps no coincidence, now that Dan thought about it, he could understand her exhaustion. He had enjoyed two great sleeps before and after his speech at the UN, with even the stress of that event not enough to keep his body from making the most of the silent nights. With that in mind, he could suddenly really understand why Emma was still nowhere to be seen at 11:15.
"Let's say noon,"
Tara said, noticing Dan's millionth glance at his phone. With the projector switched off to avoid pointlessly stress-inducing news broadcasts, and with the recent baby-proofing process having spelled the end of the living room's wall clock, he couldn't check the time any more subtly than this.
"She's already going to be PO'd that we let her sleep this long."
"You're right," Dan said, looking at Tara and noticing yet again how natural and at ease she appeared with Piper on her lap. "About the second part, but not noon. She'll probably want these extra 45 minutes of prep time."
"Rock, paper, scissors?" Tara suggested. "Loser has to wake her."
Dan couldn't help but laugh. "It's okay, I'll do it. You should probably put those mittens back on, though. The last thing we need is an argument, you know?" Tara did as he suggested, distracting Piper with some funny faces and sounds to keep her from getting upset that she could no longer explore the textures and edges of her favorite toys. Dan, meanwhile, proceeded to open his and Emma's bedroom door very quietly, mindful of waking her up as gently as possible, since she might well be irked at being left for so long on such an important day. He knocked on the inside of the door with gradually increasing volume until he saw her beginning to stir. "Morning," he said, no louder than necessary.
"Morning,"
she belatedly replied, stretching her legs out straight under the sheets.
"Any word on Leisha? I guess not, since you didn't wake me."
"We haven't looked at the news yet," Dan said, "but Clark texted us all overnight. He's in New York." Reaching out for her phone, Emma let out something between a sigh and a groan.
"Let me guess," she said, unlocking the screen to read Clark's message.
A few seconds later, her expression softened.
"Oh, I thought it was going to say Godfrey is doing the show. This isn't so bad."
"Because?"
"Well, Godfrey and Timo don't exactly get along," Emma explained. "And we really don't need any divisions on the broadly rational side of this overall argument. Besides, Godfrey himself isn't exactly someone I trust deep down, and Clark isn't much of a talker, so it's not like he's going to go on any long soliloquies or say more than he has to. But just by being there, he'll put Jan way off her stride, which is the best thing about this. She would have sparred with Godfrey and landed some blows even while she came off worse, but there's really nothing she can say to hurt Clark, especially when she's not expecting him."
Dan nodded, in understanding rather than agreement. With the lamp now on, Emma's tired eyes could just about make this gesture out.
"But just out of interest," she said, climbing out of bed.
"Yeah?
What would have been worth waking me up for?"
Dan laughed. Emma laughed, too, until she was standing in a makeshift outfit and let out a single sharp exhalation that seemed to signal a switch into business.
"There's no major news to worry about. Practically no major news at all, in fact. But could you just give me 1 minute while I call Clark? I don't like it, but I do have to act at first like I don't want him to do this so I can figure out if and why Godfrey put him up to it. Then I might have to be pretty firm about the need to keep quiet about certain things."
"Sure," Dan said. Emma began the call immediately, and it seemed as though Clark picked up just as quickly. Dan heard two questions before the door was fully closed.
"Where are you now?"
followed by,
"Which city?"
"The New York Gravison, obviously,"
Tara said to Dan as he returned to the couch, clearly having heard them too. She then briefly covered Piper's ears.
"But why did she want you to close the door? Is she going into full bitch mode on Clark?"
"Nothing he can't handle," Dan said. Tara uncovered Piper's ears and bounced her gently by repeatedly lifting her own knees.
"Uncle Clark can handle it, can't he?" "Ka-ka,"
Piper giggled. Dan then saw Tara looking at him, as though actually looking for an answer. One came to him easily. "Clark can handle anything."